welcome. Yeah. Still rolling. Hello and welcome to the worst idea of all time, episode 46, with myself, Tim Batt.
And me, Guy Montgomery. And this week we're joined by not one, but two guests. We've got Di Hemwood.
Thank you very much. G'day.
And we've also got Josh Thompson.
Hey, guys.
Two of the funniest people in New Zealand, for my money, after me and Guy.
Yeah, close third and fourth.
This is going to be so hard to coordinate us both talking into one microphone, Guy. So let's just smash our heads together. This is weird. I feel like if you've got nits, I've got nits now.
Yeah, but having watched this movie with you, you guys are on the same page now.
Very much.
You're one mind. You're one mind and four eyes.
If he's got nits, I want him. And if I've got nits, he should get him. So we remain on the same level.
It's about teamwork. It's about cooperation, communication.
Josh Thompson, can we start with you? What did you think of the movie, bruh?
I didn't like it, but it's an awful... I tell you what, I liked it, but it's an awful movie. It's really weird. Like, at the end, I was just going, why... What's going on? It's just people doing things, and I don't know what's going on. Okay, that's not the best explanation.
No, that's kind of a good explanation, because you're heading on to... Listen, I've got a very important priority here, and that's that I don't want to colour your opinion of the movie by the one that I've built up over watching it for 46 times, because it's an unreasonable thing to do a movie.
You're both to be commended for watching this 46 times.
I appreciate you saying that. I can't possibly agree. But
you could have spent that time doing something else, but...
You mentioned before.
It 46 times.
Hey, well, look, isn't it Tiger Woods who says you have to do 10,000 hours of something?
And that's the guy who wrote Blink.
Yeah, Malcolm Gladwell. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he said Tiger Woods did 10,000 hours. They're visually very different people, but they have the same philosophy. You'll be 46 hours into becoming a professional golfer.
Josh reckoned we could have built a house by now.
I reckon he could have built a house, yeah.
No, I was next to a McDonald's in Japan that got built in 48 hours.
Really?
Oh, how'd they do that?
Yeah. Oh, no, they're just the coordination. Much like the stunts in this movie.
Oh, please tell me more about the stunts.
Everything's a bit too perfect. Well, I Josh has given his heartfelt thought.
Six
look
words
at this
from
movie.
The heart.
I enjoyed it. I must say anything. What I found intriguing was starting with the moose scene, right?
Run me through it, Di.
No, there's
a moose or a deer. It's a deer. Well, yeah, deer.
It's a
deer is a skinny moose, isn't it? Basically.
It's quite big. It might have been an elk.
Yeah, you've got an elk. You've got a massive deer in the room.
It wasn't an elk. You can tell by the horns.
It looks like an elk to me.
No, elks have those. They have like wide brim sort of horns.
That's you're thinking of a moose.
The pointed stag. What does an elk look like?
It looks like the thing that's at the start of the movie.
Yeah,
bro.
well,
a little bit.
A moose has feltier horns.
They say depends it's a deer. They consistently refer to the animal on screen as a deer.
Okay,
go on about it being an elk and a moose then. Sorry, carry on.
It's a deer. Yeah. So sorry, we're talking about the deer.
So the deer's in the room. You've got no build up. You've got nowhere to go. Right. So first of all, you'd know the deer was in it. She'd smell the deer. So in real life, you'd smell a deer
no,
in your room.
I'm going to challenge you on that point, brother, because when you're asleep, your sense of smell switches off. Your olfactory functions are rendered moot asleep.
Okay, that's maybe in the deep of a sleep, but in the morning, when you're on the fringe of waking up anyway, you know, like there's often bleed in between the end of your dream and the beginning of the day. If you have a little deer snuffling around your snacks next to your bed that Adam Sandler keeps there, or...
I'm going to stop you there, guys. Selma Hayek is out cold. We know this. She keeps trying to get back to sleep. She keeps telling Lenny, let me sleep. She's gone, bro.
Well, if you're out cold, you're not saying, let me sleep. Selma Hayek in this movie is your scented candle type. I could see she smelled good. Like,
what
she
are you
smells
talking
good.
About?
She smells good. Her room smells good.
Are you talking about
so
the
you'd
verb
notice
or the adjective?
You'd notice that.
She smells good herself, or she sniffs other things
She smells good.
Oh, okay, right.
Her room smells good. Right, she wears a lot of breathable fabrics in this, and so she smells good. Right, that yoga mat would be a thing of beauty, like an Akoya candle.
Oh,
but yeah,
you have spent some time in Japan, haven't you, brother?
So
all
I'm saying is that with a deer in the room,
yes,
you'd smell a deer, and you've started
because it would upset the very special fragrance that she has going on in the room at all other times.
Gotcha.
Exactly. You don't know where that deer's been, but it's got. It's Matt. The movie has massive gags that are some yay or nay funny, but they're so over the top, you've got to laugh at what they're trying to achieve.
So, like, give me an example. Give me two. What were your top two over the top gags that may not have been that?
Like, over the top gags.
But,
oh, no. Well, one that worked.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I wasn't a fan of the Stone bus driver.
Nick Swartzen.
Nick Swartzen, slightly overplayed. Yet, when the bloody inflatable raft pops out in Kmart.
Yeah,
dude. It's a huge stunt.
Massive stunt.
And then huge when the guy gag. In the fight flies over the roof.
When Shaq throws him.
Yeah, when Shaq throws him over the roof. They're these huge stunts. And even the changeable table.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's a lot of effort.
We haven't really talked about
it's
the changeable
table. I'm trying to work out the physics of it. Josh, you were laughing sort of at various different moments in the movie with
yes.
real mirth and
yeah,
joy.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you walk us through what was going on there?
I mean, there were some funny bits. I can't remember what they were. But there were some funny bits. I really, really laughed hard at those. But I really laughed hard at the bits that probably didn't work. And and I think I just enjoyed them because I kind of imagined being on set and the guy goes, oh, so hang on. So he finishes his line, turns at me, and then I go, wah. Is that right? And you want me to just get a bit higher, wah, and really hold it. Okay, cool. I think I'm good now. Let's go again. Sorry, team. Sorry, it's taken me a while during the day, but I think I've got it. Okay, let's go. Make it a good one.
And the funny thing is, about your observation, is that random dude you're talking about is an SNL alumni, apparently, Tim Meadows, who's, like, legendarily funny.
I know.
And, like, that's him. That's him in the movie.
He nailed the first, what?
Yeah.
And they could have reused that first, what? But it got a bit... weird. Hey, can I just jump back to hashtag deer detail?
Grab it,
yeah,
bro.
I'd love to go.
The bra on the deer's antlers.
We are in the first minute and a half of the movie,
no,
by the way.
No, but it is still there.
Yes.
Maybe 13 hours later at the party.
That's how we know it's the same deer and not a different one. Just in case.
But was that when they first tried to introduce sexiness in? Because I was thinking, why do they put a bra on?
Okay.
A lacy bra.
It is a raunchy bra. It's a pink, see-through bra.
Yeah, it's not like some wacky jocks.
The movie has got a confused sexual tone
Very
to
sexual.
It. Because the movie, ostensibly, is a family comedy. But
it's too much. It's too much to have a woman like that swinging their boobs around, man. It is too intense. I'm sweating.
It's a lot
now.
Of skin. There's a lot of skin.
If I was a few years younger, I'd be sweating then.
That's something we kind of posited during the watch between us. If you're a young lad, about 19, 11, discovering your own anatomy, and you've gone to this movie with your parents, as I'm sure
this
it happened.
This would be great. This would be the one that you in the store, you're like, can we buy this video so we can all hang out and watch?
Are you asking your parents for that kind of material though?
Not these days.
I don't want. Fair. Yeah. How old are you now, Josh?
Oh, I'm older now. I'm mid 30s.
Yeah.
So I had an awesome situation where my dad was in a film where a woman took her top off and had her boobs out.
All right.
We had legitimately had the VHS. But then you're running that fine line of being all chubbed up when your dad comes.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Has that led to any interesting kind of maybe sexual?
No, luckily he was in the film. Then he was out of the film.
They're not in the same place at the same time.
So never at the same time. But there was very sexual. But also the policeman cleaning each other's nipples where, the police partner goes, can I get in on that?
I'm going to allow that one on the basis of if you're a kid and you kind of don't get what nipples do, it's sort of like, oh, it's silly. You know what I mean? It works on a silly level, but the yoga stuff.
We're not saying that, like, the other things, we're not having a go at, like, these specific people saying they're not funny. Like, I just assume that they all turn up to work and they have to do the script and they don't have a choice in the matter because they're getting paid money for it to sell stuff at Kmart, and they're going to have to do whatever the hell it says. That's what I find really funny.
Now, this has got to have garnered quite a lot of sponsorship dollars.
Okay, this is what I'm interested in, because very early on in the podcast, we were talking about the accounting practices and the money and that sort of thing. So this movie had a budget of $80 million and it grossed $230. But I don't know. I think that might just be box office. Who knows how much Adam Sandler's made.
All the phones are Nokia Windows.
No, they're Sony.
Are they Sony?
It's Sony Ericsson.
It's a Sony Pictures film. So
there's Sony Ericsson.
Yeah,
two brands that no longer exist.
Kevin James is filming the ballet recital with a Sony Handycam.
Yeah, why's he got a Handycam, eh?
Well, yeah, his children aren't actually in the ballet recital, so it is a little bit weird.
Really?
Yeah, and also, you both are making noises, and it's true, because that ballet teacher is strutting her stuff on stage.
And there's a lot of younger women around, so very awkward.
Not younger women, tiny girls. Yeah, they're like 6 years old.
That's bad. What are they trying to achieve? Because, when you go out as a director for any scene, you're trying to achieve an emotion from the person watching it. What are they trying to...
Turned on.
Guilty arousal, I think.
Screwball. There's 8-year-olds in the shot.
Guilty arousal could be a good name for this film, actually.
Now, listen, I want to catch this next bit, because we've got something we love to do with our guests. And Guy, do you want to explain it to them?
So more or less, we'll do a little role play. We are the executive producers. You two have penned the script for Grown Ups 2, and you're pitching it to us. We're in the office. You've come in. You're money hungry. You understand?
Unplug that mic, Josh, and plug it back in. It's doing. There we go.
All right. So whenever in your own time, come into the office.
Okay. Have you guys seen Star Wars?
I actually haven't.
No.
Okay, well, there's Star Wars themes running through this.
First of all, introduce myself. My name is Mr. Bat. This is Mr. Montgomery. We're from the studio. It's lovely to meet you.
This is my cousin.
Josh, is it?
Cousin Di. He's touched.
I'm so excited about this film. You take it away.
No, you're touched. So he's. I've brought him along to, help him see how men talk. Okay.
Josh is the one we need. All right. Okay. Josh,
let me take you back in time.
I'm there.
I'm throwing. Let's harken back 30 years to the 80s.
Okay.
We've got big hair.
Yeah.
Bright clothes.
Oh yeah.
And damn fine music. Mm. Now that is part of what we're selling. We're taking people back. You take your whole family and go, look, children, that's what I was doing.
That's a really positive memory for me.
Yes, good.
So that's really interesting that you've
got. We've got this. I've got.
Do you guys like black stereotypes? What?
Sorry, Di, is that? My wife is African American.
There's an African American.
So the answer is yes. I
strong
love
woman characters. Very strong.
There's
woman
strong
characters.
Woman characters.
Yes,
because she's got a big honky nose, and the thing is, the kids like you get Steve Urkel. You like Steve Urkel?
Love Family
Everyone
Matters.
Loves Steve Urkel.
Who doesn't?
Fresh Steve Urkel. Imagine Steve Urkel and Bobby Brown.
Oh, okay. Tell
and
me more. 80s. Tell me more.
In the 80s.
All right.
Well,
I need more.
We've got an experience for you where you can take. We've got the big four. We've got over 25 male. We've got under 25 male. We've got over 25 female and under 25 female.
Those are our four main demos.
Yeah, that's everybody.
I guess my main concern at this point in the conversation, fellas, and don't get me wrong, I'm very excited by this. I love the 80s. I love stereotypes.
And your family.
Is there any sort of story to this? I mean, what's the thrust? What's the hook for my family?
Give us the characters and show us
the thrust is, I don't know if you remember a show called Airplane. It's gags, a movie Airplane. It's gags.
Yep.
Storyline can take a backseat. Mm. We want gags, boobs.
Let me make sure I've got you right here.
But
Di, is it?
It's a family movie, Di. You can't put boobs in a family movie.
You can't concentrate. You can't follow a script while your children are on their phones and your wife's cooking and you're trying to watch a movie. You can't focus on that. You need just a constant, hey, there's something happening over here. Now, there's something happening. And then, what?
I just
want to
make sure I understand what you're suggesting. This film you've just written is the next Aeroplane?
Yes.
Yes.
What I'm also suggesting is some people don't like films. They like wrestling. So we're going to put a champion wrestler in it.
Who have you got? Who are you thinking?
Stone Cold Steve
Austin.
Finally
dies speaking my language.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock. He's all action. He's all buff. He's not comedy. This is Stone Cold Steve Austin's softer side. So you bring in the harder woman in. You see? The wrestling fans. The woman who like a man with a bit of leather waistcoat about him.
We're hitting a lot of... This is very appealing to me.
You're hitting a lot of marks that I like.
Producer here at Sony.
But listen, before you talk...
All right. Before you talk, you don't have to pony up all the money.
Well, that was my next question.
Good.
Big on board.
Those guys are hemorrhaging. Yes. They love spending big.
I know. I don't know if they make the drinks, but Rockstar are on board.
Another thing that we've found... Sorry. Another thing that we've found is that...
Josh, is it? Take the floor.
Sorry. Another thing that we found is that we're not going to have characters that you follow in a movie. We've just got heaps of well-known sort of people that you go, it's the guy. So you can sit down and go, it's the guy from the lady from History of Violence, an amazing film.
So
she's in there.
We'll be engaged the whole
time.
Yeah.
Then she's doing different things. So Steve Buscemi's in there.
What you guys are saying is, hey, let's take plot.
Mm.
What's that, an open window? Because that's where the plot's going. But we're gonna make a movie that's gonna hold the attention of all our key demos, under and over 25s men, under and only 25s women.
What you either draw people in with a firm story, or you draw them in with hot deer piss on a dude's face. going the latter.
I haven't heard anything about this yet.
Listen, you're a positively breath of fresh air. I love where this is at, and I'm ready to green light this. Hey, how much would you like? 60 mil? 80 mil?
Adam Sandler's in it as well.
80 mil it is. I'm sold.
Good.
Mr. Montgomery, what say you?
Yeah, guys, I'm really excited about this project.
Strong pitch.
I don't see any way this movie could go wrong.
Sweet.
This concludes the role play part of the podcast.
I think we sold it, Josh.
Hey, good work.
We were pretty sort of flexible, sort of morally and financially.
You definitely swung. You swung from no to definitely yes.
No, listen, you're right, though. There is no story whatsoever. I have no idea what happened.
I want to drill into this, Josh. So, like,
drill into it.
Tell me, take me along as the movie went on, where you were at emotionally and kind of intellectually. So on a deer.
There's a deer. I mean, the deer. I don't know if you guys have raised deer with your own hands, but I have. We've had deer on the farm. It's a very dangerous animal. Very dangerous animal. I don't know how I got up the stairs, but they are very, very strong. So maybe a deer got up the stairs. Yes, great. What you don't do is the deer comes down the stairs. You don't take your entire family behind a very dangerous deer in a big house because it's dangerous to your children.
Well, you're not wrong.
So you were
saying that grown-ups too should not be a how-to guide for parenting, is what you're suggesting.
No, it's got very horrible bits. And then he broke his kid's leg.
Yeah, man. Let me tell you, as someone who's brought up deer, because I've always wondered about the physics of this and the biology.
Go on.
Could that deer run up and or down stairs with the way their knees are configured? Does that stack up?
The staircase is too small for a deer.
Well, that's true.
Mm. Also, I reckon on that lot, they bought far too much blue paint. And then had to do gags with it.
It was splashed around, eh?
I found that they pulled the gags off amazingly. They filled a car half with blue paint.
Yeah.
None of it's leaking out. The dude doesn't choose.
You're right.
Like, I reckon if I went up to my car before I opened the door, I'd know that it was half full of blue paint.
He's driven there with it in, hasn't he?
Yeah, and then he opens the door and it all comes out.
I never thought about that. Guy, did you ever consider that? The dude's driving around in his car with the blue paint.
He might have had to walk home the night before. He did a stressful day at the office. He drank some
whiskey. No, he went into the office and the kids filled it up in the car park.
That's right, because he walked up to it because
it's after school.
No, it's not. It's the beginning of school.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, it's the beginning. And then he gets... he gets blue painted at the end of the day, eh?
Yeah, when he's doing the announcement over the PA.
Now, I pulled the odd prank at school. Taking a keg of blue paint into the principal's ceiling and removing the asbestos square quietly enough to pour it perfectly over him and him going, every year! Every year I thought, why doesn't he get those troublemakers? Why doesn't he seal the ceiling?
Yes, blue skull.
Because that would really ruin every year.
I mean, and the ridiculous thing is that he's actually wearing, you will have heard, his favourite shirt. He wears his favourite shirt on that
since
last...
Since he was 12.
And if he's known that every year they're going to pour blue paint on him, why would you wear your favourite shirt on the one day?
Listen, we've got to wrap up this part.
How does it get clean?
We've got some transportation to catch.
Oh, I just wanted to... Sorry, how come he's got a dry shirt after he's being pissed on with a deer?
I've got to say, you two dudes both noticed that, and I have... Did you ever notice that before, a guy in the 45 previous times?
It hadn't occurred to me to think about it.
Where's the deer piss gone, bruh?
It's all not. Over his face.
Adam Sammer's working his tail off to get that deer out of the house. His energy and sort of the rate at which his brain and heart are going have sort of, they've heated him up to the point that any clothes that were wet on him sort of 10 seconds prior are now dry.
I reckon he scotch-guarded his T-shirts. I've always thought about doing that.
No, but you see them, that's a capital idea, by the way. Capital idea.
Oh, fuck.
But he didn't do it because they're definitely wet. You see, anyway. Look, you sidetracked me, bro. So where do we want to go to next, Guy? What's our first destination?
I'd ask Josh and Di if you could please get aboard the bus. You on the bus?
Yeah, yes, I'm on the bus. Yeah. I mean, I'm a bit stressed out because who's driving?
Party time! It's Paddy Schwartz party time! It's Paddy Schwartz! He's riding around your house on a children's trouser coat! It's Paddy Schwartz party time! He's opening up the drawers, he's rolling through your pots and pans! Paddy Schwartz party time! He's putting tinfoil in the microwave! Paddy! Don't put tinfoil in the microwave! Dihen with Josh Thompson. Thanks again for joining us today. And
thank you.
In this movie, you may have noticed one of the co-stars is Patrick Schwarzenegger's son, who goes by Patrick Shriver right now.
As far as we know, Patrick Schwarzenegger doesn't have a son. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger's
son. Oh, yeah, sorry. Arnold Schwarzenegger's son, Patrick. I beg your pardon. Yeah. No, fair point. So what we like to do every week is find our favourite part of Patrick Schwarzenegger's performance. Do you guys remember him being in the film at all?
I'm thinking I remember Graffiti Cliff. Awful. Was he around the Graffiti Cliff, eh?
He was in that scene. At the quarry by Suicide 35.
And he gets out with the jocks.
Yeah, he was wearing a baby blue singlet with yellow trim.
And he was the beautiful man. He is beautiful.
He was beautiful.
He had lips. Yeah. Like, the thing is, I noticed Salma Hayek started the movie off with very crusty crusts. Crusty lips. Like, they needed some lip balm. And Patrick Schwartz gets out of the car. He's been cruising in his 5.0 with his dudes all day. And his lips are beautiful. Like, they're
You aren't right about that, bro. I've noticed Patrick Schwartz's lips before. They're kind of majestic.
They're like two tiny Cheerios, you know, that have been cooked to the right tautness.
Like, just before the skin's going to break. Yeah. Right to the maximum.
And at the beginning of the movie, Selma's Cheerios have been on the boil for a little too long.
Selma Hayek's
Cheerios. They're bursting out of the skin, mate.
They got left out. That's how I feel about her lips. They didn't. Because otherwise you would see weird shit going on.
Yeah, the reason why I think this is featured so much for me is I feel everyone in this movie is overly made up. Like, the costume and hair and makeup has gone to town. We're talking about how it's so well lit. You can see the makeup on everyone.
You noticed it was really well lit really early on, which I appreciate. Because you guys haven't heard the podcast, have you?
No.
You haven't watched the movie, you haven't heard the podcast.
I'm excited that we've all noticed it's a beautifully lit movie, but what I'm going to need from either one or both of you is the highlight of your Patrick Schwarzenegger experience.
The lips count.
I think the second time he's on, everyone's sort of jockish, but he is like a gazelle, a beautiful lithe gazelle with a high school body just glistening through.
You know what that'll be, Di, is he's been known to work out on the rig down at Gold's Gym on
really?
Beach.
Yeah. The one thing I was thinking is I feel sorry for the woman he makes love to, because. You know, he'd be like a ball of twine, but that's wrapped in a beanbag, if that makes any sense. Like
not
a
yet,
sexy beanbag.
Run me through that.
Well, like, the thing is, he'd be cuddly, but once he tensed,
he's not,
he'd be a ball
of... He's nowhere
of
near like his father.
No, 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 a but he's lying.
During his
wrapped
life?
Around a beanbag.
How can he's kind of...
He's sinewy but hot, but...
He was kind of effeminate. Like, he kind of just looked dreamy.
Yeah, dreamy. Like, no, like know, a John Stamos
kind of
dreamy.
He didn't strike me as a very gristly man.
No, he hadn't quite come into his own, because when this movie was shot, he was 20, and he's very pretty in the movie.
Right, right.
Yeah. You've seen the lips. And the eyelashes are huge. But I tell you what, me and Guy both follow him on Twitter... at Patrick whatever, rough. But more importantly at Blaze Pizza.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Right. And he's
pizza.
He's looking really? More masculine now. He's got a beard.
Yeah, he's got there's this great pizza joint on Venice Beach, guys. I got to say, if you're ever in Venice, if you're in LA, you find yourself hungry. You're hungry, but you're also in a rush. You got to get to a job interview, all
quickly,
right?
Yeah,
you got the right. big job interview because you need to make rent, or you and your family, you're going to get kicked out of your apartment.
You got a job interview because you've just penned the greatest movie ever told.
That's right.
And you got to meet with these studio execs. You can't miss that bus.
You got to meet with Mr. Bat and Mr. Montgomery. You've only got about 180 seconds to get yourself a snack to eat. Now, there's this little joint called Blaze Pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
What we're talking ingredients about? Ingredients are
hashtag in 2 minutes.
Art is anal.
Just over 2 minutes. 3 minutes.
You got to order it, though, surely.
Woe to go, probably 3 minutes.
3.5 if you add the order time in there as well. 180 seconds.
I don't mean to derail the podcast. I just had to bring that up. We are contractually obligated, obviously, to bring up Blaze Pizza. Hashtag, how do you, Blaze? Are they paying us out the waz-baz for this?
We are receiving no money from Blaze Pizza, but we hope to back invoice them for all the promo we've done. Right. At any rate, we need to get into our second destination, which, of course, is...
Roll up for the mystery tour and roll up to destination. Roll up for the mystery tour. The Steve Buscemi mystery tour is coming to take you away. Coming to take you away. Take you today. The Steve Buscemi mystery tour. Now, we tried to forewarn you during the film. I don't know how much of it you absorbed. What do you know about it?
Of what?
So Steve Buscemi got an injury in the first Grown Ups film, which neither of us have seen yet, and we have to guess what it was.
But the injury was there for one scene. When he was all yeah boy flavor,
he
was far, because he implied he was injured from the arms down.
What really?
No, it was more like, well,
doesn't
no,
he hold the arms up?
Play this out.
Arms up like he's a referee in football.
I thought he was being the goalpost.
Yeah, no, so did I, but he said, I'm injured from the arms down.
See, 2 years of this with his arms up in the touching position and only 40% feeling in his body.
So something happened in the first movie. It's got to be the deer, maybe. Maybe he was wearing a print bra because they went to a cross-dressing 90s party in the first movie.
You're into
a
date, man. You're
this isn't sitting
the
well, Scotch.
And then the deer came whipped his bra off and nailed him. And then so that's what the bra is always on the deer's antler, because it's...
But he got the deer didn't have a bra when we first saw it. And I don't condemn you for not knowing this after one watch. The deer got it from somewhere.
Oh, the
washing laundry thing, which Adam Sandler and his kid throw at the deer to try and slow it down.
I wonder how.
A bizarre defense.
Like, assuming there was a few riders on. Do you know how many riders were on it? Do you guys know?
Three, mate.
I think there were three head riders. I don't know if Adam Sandler was one of those, but he was definitely collaborating.
Yeah,
they were all former Saturday Night Live riders.
Right. It's a bold move to start with this deer thing, like swinging.
Yeah, okay, well, maybe it was just the integrity raping he got from his agent when he sent the script and they said, do it.
Who, by who? To who?
To Steve Buscemi.
Oh, to Buscemi.
And he went, and since I've read this, I've got no feeling in 40% of my body, but I'm here. I'm going with the deer.
I did not follow the bit leading up to that.
Josh, I felt like you weren't entirely on board with Diane's theory, although I think it's perfectly plausible and reasonable.
No, I wasn't. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Well, what do you think caused the injury?
Oh, hang on, you say that the deer caused the injury?
Yeah.
This could work.
Where you been, Joshy?
What are you talking about?
Tomo.
I thought the deer, the guy that thought the deer and Steve, you were saying deer and Steve Buscemi were the same actor or something at one stage, and it didn't make any sense.
No, he got hit by the deer in the first movie.
So you're saying Steve Buscemi was wearing a pink bra?
At a dress-up party.
Guess
and
what,
he got nailed by.
Rob Schneider's not the only one who was in the first movie, so was the deer.
But hang
That's
on.
That's what you're suggesting.
Oh, yes.
Rob Schneider's in the first movie, by the way.
Bra,
that
the
doesn't
bra
surprise me, to be honest.
I met him once. I interviewed him for 20 minutes. Yeah. He's an interesting cat.
Oh, he seems interesting.
He's very zen, but yeah. but in an intense way, which is kind of like something that is at odds with itself.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm very surprised that he isn't in this movie. It screams Rob Schneider.
Well, some people say there was scheduling errors, but we've read maybe there was a falling out.
Because isn't Rob Schneider part of Adam Sandler's stable? Like he
the Sandlerverse?
Yeah.
You look at the Rob Schneider movies, you look at The Animal, The Hot Chick. Adam Sandler's cameoing in those in the same way Rob Schneider's cameoing.
Is he in Deuce Bigelow?
I don't know. Adam Sandler, I don't think he is.
What's your, when you guys watch it with people, like, I can't imagine what's wrong with you, but, like, I can't imagine, like, so sometimes I'll have a YouTube clip that I'll particularly like, and I'll show someone, and some people will really respond to it really well, and some people won't. So what parts do you like the best from the movie and can't wait till sees a couple of bits?
You've led us perfectly into the shining light. The first thing is that Guy and myself don't have attachment to the film in the same way because we're not vouching for it. Do you know what I mean? We've thrown ourselves into this pit where we've got to watch it over and over again. But if you put on a YouTube video on your phone, you're like, hey, check this out, this is awesome. You've got investment, you've got stock in the game.
Sure.
We don't have a lot of skin in the game here.
Yeah.
You guys don't need to love
the movie. I kind
of
associate the movie with you guys now.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
I see.
Is that what we've become now? Is that our career?
Z-Dog. You said to say Z-Dog to you.
Good memory, Di. Good memory. I said, someone write that down because I want to bring up the Z-Dog thing. Because someone brought it up on the Facebook page. I just want to say, Braden Higgins, David Spade's son, the guy who combs his hair with the switchblade knife, someone refers to him as Z-Dog once and there's no explanation leading up to it or after or any repeat of that name. So I just want to validate your concerns, person who's seen the movie once.
This might be unfair of me, but I always feel like when, you know, you take issue with the fact that they haven't referenced Z-Dog earlier in the film. I mean, you know, we could sit here for 46 weeks and make complaints very similar in terms of just laziness. I don't know what I'm saying.
And in a lot of ways,
I wonder what's Z-Dog's name? Is it Zachariah?
Braden Higgins.
Did you think it was Zachariah?
Yes.
It's not...
Okay. To be honest, didn't pay the best attention.
I wonder what got cut out of this film, like whether they filmed the whole scene of Higgins trying to work at the soup shop, right? The soup kitchen. And then his son finding out or something, because it suddenly gets referenced, and so many lines in this film are random throwaways that then have this huge callback to.
I'll throw over to Guy Montgomery to explain why that wouldn't be the case.
Specifically with the soup.
Vis-a-vis the soup kitchen. So when David Spade first meets his son, Braden Higgins, at the train station, you'll both remember he sort of becomes afraid because Braden cuts the head off the teddy bear.
Yeah.
And he tells his son, because he doesn't want to spend the day with him because he's nervous, and you would be. Son's just drawn a switchblade. He says, I'd love to hang out. You've got to go to school because I'm working late at the soup kitchen today. And then so Brayden,
an obvious lie. The movies.
And unbeknownst to us, Brayden actually sort of invests a level of trust in that line.
And then somehow finds out.
Yeah, well, he finds out because when he's down the quarry, you know, as you would be, it's first day of summer. I mean, everybody swims down the quarry in Stanton, Connecticut. We know this. He sees his dad jumping off the cliff. How can you be working at the soup kitchen?
Yeah. See, that's when I'm looking at your knackers jumping into the pool.
I'm upset. I don't know if this is a normal thing people do overseas, but there's a lot of graffiti on that cliff.
Yeah, man.
Very upset.
Like, the entire quarry has been spray painted.
You're tagging nature.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Because we don't do that here, eh, Joshy?
I don't think so.
We don't do it as
I used to hang out in a mongrel mob cave, but out at Piha.
Did you?
And there's a lot of, not while they were there, like how just did, after they'd left, just to sort of sniff the vibe.
Okay.
But there's like, yeah, out at Piha, and it's closed off now. It's down the north end of Piha. There's a lot of mongrel mob graffiti and so forth in it.
Was it the
very different scene to the one in there?
Was it the same level of kind of layering and coverage that they had at
quarry? Look like a perfect graffiti magazine like that cliff look.
That was
I likened
like
it to
textbook.
The pink and white terraces. Research them.
Yeah,
they're
Google
very
that.
Similar.
Google that.
Very Dude. Different clientele, however.
Do you reckon that was art department? Do you reckon they went and painted that?
No way. They just that's location. They found that quarry, surely.
You reckon?
A little bit from column A and a little bit from column B.
Do you think they added to an already chalk. Existing scenario?
Hey, if there was someone, they would have said spread it out so it matches this thing, because it was too perfect.
If it was real, it would have been all overlapped and there would have been a lot more cock and balls on it, to be honest.
A fair and biting justification for why.
There's something I mentioned while we were watching this, and that was that every scene seems to have talking that phases out, then there's a weird gag to get out of the scene.
Yeah, you articulated something that I've always felt watching the movie, but I've never been able to express in words, and that's that the people making this film didn't know how to finish. They don't know how to end a scene.
Yeah.
And you're so right. That's what it is. At the end of every sequence of scene, there's an odd little joke that they're trying to launch as a catchphrase or a gag, and then you simply move on into the next random
set of events.
But
they don't use subtext at all, because it's like, scene, say what you need to in the first sentence, then gag, gag. Like with the soup kitchen thing, the dude comes up with soup kitchen my ass or whatever tattooed on his arm.
The other thing we didn't bring up is that he's a warlock.
We don't know that. That's a theory I came up with once.
I fits.
What does it mean?
That he's like a demon, because I posited that he's got quite special powers that make him a supernatural being.
He looks
very young.
Very young.
Yeah, young for a demon who's over 4,000 years old.
Well, I think they've got some sort of power of time, from my understanding.
Yeah.
You've been watching Angel.
No.
Did you watch Buffy? Were you a Buffy fan, Thomas?
No.
That's my genre I can't handle. Is
oh, really?
Zombies, vampires, and warlocks and that sort of shit.
I loved Buffy. Right. And I was quite... I'm talking original run Buffy when it was first on the telly, not reruns.
So what about the movie?
I was right into that. The movie?
I saw the movie. It was originally a movie first, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah. And it wasn't Sarah Michelle Gellar. No, it was someone else first. But Sarah Michelle Gellar took it and made it her own.
Right.
With that guy who directed it, who's made amazing movies.
I read Cormac McCarthy's The Road and cried at the end. We've all got stories, so...
We've all got cultural touchstones.
Patrick Swayze... Schwarzenegger. He said something in it, didn't he? Didn't he have two words?
Yeah, he says words.
There was
words.
A bit of activity, so I didn't quite... What were those words?
Okay, so Patty Schwartz's lines are, yeah, they're shaking, he's so mad. My brother's shaking, he's so mad.
He does do that line.
Wow. When Taylor Lautner says, you've ruined... What is that? You've ruined our celebration. Look at my hands. They're shaking, I'm so mad.
And Patrick Schwartz goes, yeah, my brother's shaking. And the rest of it, it's a lot of mouth work.
I think the rest of it is he's just joining in on lines. I'm trying to scan through the rest of the script.
Can we revisit Josh's word bumble there? Imagine if Patrick Swayze played that part.
Oh, wait.
It wouldn't surprise me.
So
because so many
the timeline, it would have surprised me if Patrick did manage to.
And instead of that weird bass line that comes on when he first has an appearance, it's Unchained Melody, that starting bit.
There's so many cameos in it. I wonder.
It almost feels
Josh is about to throw
you
up.
Know, it almost actually feels
I'm better.
Even though it doesn't reference any cultural things, any pop culture, it feels in the vein of a scary movie type style to me.
Like a Wayans send up movie.
Yeah, it feels that it is mocking other movies and other cultural touchstones.
It was never occurred to me that Grown Ups 2 was sort of taking a swing at any other genre or style of film.
Hey, we've got to put a pin on this.
There's one real thing is there's nothing to really follow. Like I didn't know who was meant to be following. I guess it was Adam Sandler, but then I thought it was the big guy. I don't know what happened.
What this movie wants you to say, Josh, is what?
But what did happen? What happened to Adam Sandler? His kid wasn't there or something, then he woke up to someone's boobs.
Yeah, the question you're asking is, I think, so much bigger than you realise.
And then we have time for.
Because what did just happen?
No, what
exactly
happened?
But weekly, every week, what just happened, you know? Why would you do that?
I'm going to throw over to Guy Montgomery for a real quick shining light.
Oh, okay, my shining light, very early in the film. When they do a cross from the Fader's house to Kevin James' house, the first shot, they got a stepping shot outside of it before we meet Bean, who's struggling with his math homework. There's a really cool female extra with wraparound shades. She's wearing a green singlet and blue jeans. I like to think she wasn't hired for the film. She was actually walking maybe to the mechanics to pick up her car. And she was just really rocking it right through that shot. You only get to see her for 1 or 2 seconds, but she was really hitting the straps.
Wow. Love that. I've for my shining light, which is the part of the movie we legitimately enjoyed this week, because it can't just be a non-stop hate fest for 52 weeks. It's ridiculous. There's another extra, background extra. It's a male who's in Tanya's first appearance at the ice cream
parlor.
And he clearly doesn't know he's in a movie or how to act in a movie. And I really enjoyed the authenticity of that moment. He's just looking around. He doesn't know where to focus in. He doesn't know what's going on.
I've got a little shining light, a brief one. There's a guy who... It's this gag I know out at... We're on holiday, guys who pull this gag. It's the ice cream guy committing to the... All right, Hollywood, you've been in your films. Now you move back here. He knows he hasn't been in any films. He hasn't even been working in the entertainment industry, but he's always... Whoa there, Hollywood.
Yeah.
Whoa there, California guy.
20 Voss Waters. Yeah. That's how you do it in Hollywood.
Yeah, it's like wherever you, if you go down south and it's okay, Auckland. Oh, filling your gas tank up to full, are you? Auckland.
Did that touch a wee bit of a nerve, Di, as someone who's from the hut and heart is still in the
hut?
Well,
actually, it happened from Timaru. I got this in Timaru when I was driving Tom's from Timaru. I was filling my car up at the petrol station and the guy went, "Boo, filling it the whole way up." Oh, okay, Auckland. And it's like, dude, I'm driving the length of the island. I'm filling my car up.
I love it.
No, it just touched the stone with me, the guy.
That spoke to you.
Yeah, and then I lost all credibility for the movie when he was shitting out the ice cream.
Fair call. So Dickie's your highlight. Josh, fuck. You don't have to have one necessarily.
No, but I really laughed at a whole bunch of things. I can't remember what they were.
Well, I'll tell you what you laughed at, and this is the same for Tom Curry. You loved Kid Dynamite when he said, man. Ooh, that's cold.
Yeah, I was imagining that I was that age and I could have auditioned for it, and you know, I could have been that kid from Grown Ups 2, that little fuzzy head kid.
As a parent, I never used to find a character like that funny, yet I find it a lot funnier now that I have
dad humour. Maybe that's what we're missing, bro.
So this is what I find weird. Dad humour. I'm not fully into it, but I'm understanding it now.
Is this movie for you?
It's getting close,
man. It's getting close to me for you.
It's getting close.
It's for you. It's for new dads.
All right.
It's new dad. It's got boobs.
Seems
boobs.
Like a perfect no, place
they
to
do, they
put
play
a bow
on
it.
All the things of, oh, you never go out anymore. You're only, because it's true, man.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, you end up, you're drinking at kids' parties with people, with other dudes you hardly ever know.
You're a grown-up.
Tune into episode 47, where Guy Montgomery and Tim Batt get some women pregnant to appreciate the movie a little bit more. This has been fabulous having you guys on. Josh Thompson and Di Henwood, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I really like the movie.
Guy, anything you want to close out on?
You guys have got to go out there and live every moment.
Love every day. We'll catch you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.